Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salin, and you can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who has stayed with me through his bronchial, coughing, crying baby for two segments, for which I am very grateful. Pastor Drew is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church and the proud parent, along with his wife, Erica, of their firstborn son, who will be 14 months tomorrow, Judah Andrew Sams. Again, welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure, as always. I want to wish you a happy forthcoming seventh wedding anniversary.
Thank you so much.
Which is coming up coincidental with Father's Day. You and I share similar blessings, or whatever the negative would be, about sharing a holiday with our anniversary, because I got married 2 days after Christmas.
Did you really?
Yeah, so we're always competing. The anniversary is always competing with Christmas, and of course your anniversary is always going to be competing with Father's Day. But in this case, particularly given all you've gone through in the 7 years, I think it's just a beautiful combination of celebrations.
Well, it sure is special. You know, our son will turn 14 months tomorrow, and then our anniversary the next day with Father's Day, so quite a weekend for us. So I'm glad he's on the mend. You mentioned, you know, even in the beginning there about him having his first bronchial infection, and boy, he's been pouting a lot.
Yeah, and he can't express it quite as well as our older children and adults, but that's kind of interesting. So the column this week is about pouting and pride, and you told me on the break that you had a very interesting coincidental phone call, but I'd love your thoughts on the column and on anything biblical about pride and the good and bad as you see it about pouting and pride.
Yeah, you know, it was so great right in the column there. You mentioned that when we pout, it's kind of like we're bringing up a little kid in us.
Yeah.
And, you know, here Judah's sick and he's pouting, and understandably so. And, you know, I think I've sounded like him as an adult. But it's true. You know, I think as little kids, they pout, and sometimes they can't even put into words what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of ways, we don't grow out of that if we don't have the maturity or the ability to process emotions or to communicate with a spouse or a friend or, a coworker or a roommate. Then we resort to pouting. It's kind of one of these ancient inherent things that are built into us in our nature, and it can be frustrating for the person pouting, but also the people around.
Every time I've pouted too hard or taken my pride too hard as far as making a decision because somebody hurt my feelings, every time I'm the loser. And that's the irony. It's a behavior that does not work. Now, we could talk about some examples where pride is a value, but with pouting, I don't think there's any time that it's going to be helpful. Much better just express what's on your mind, take the consequences. The reason I've pouted and still do sometimes with my wife is I just don't want to have the fight, or I'm chicken to have the confrontation about something I want to say that I know she's not going to like. So I revert to the very adult way of pouting. And my wife, I declare in the column that I'm a world-class pouter, and my wife would heartily agree. She does it too. Another term that I think actually applies to pouting is being passive-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-wife was quite passive-aggressive, and I think that's a very destructive behavior for, again, the individual primarily, and of course anyone around them that is subject to their passive-aggressive behavior. What other thoughts do you have on either pouting or pride?
You know, in some ways, there's an overlap between mm-hmm. pouting and pride. I think where it does overlap is when pouting and pride kind of make you feel like you're the center of the universe, as it were, that, you know, you're the person pouting. It's their feelings that are the most important. Their needs are the most important. Sometimes pride can be, you know, there's no one better than me or at this thing or in this situation. But I think where pride can be very beneficial for a student, for an athlete, for a craftsman, for somebody to take pride in their work.
Right.
You know, to really say, I want to pour who I am into whatever I do or a relationship, parenting as a spouse. I think there's a lot of beauty in that, because then that's where it doesn't overlap. In some ways, when you pour who you are into those things, then it becomes bigger than just yourself. You're extending who you are and your gifts and your traits and your experiences so that others can be blessed.
Well, I would take it a step further and a little less spiritual, and just from a practical point of view, as I express in the column, you've developed your skill set, whatever it is, your profession. You've gone through medical school. You've become a lawyer. You're a craftsman, an artist, and you command a certain price. Pride is not cutting yourself short because somebody tries to pressure you to take less than you deserve. And I think that's a good form of pride. I think there are times when maybe an adjustment might be appropriate based on need, and so I would hope your pride wouldn't intrude in if you provide a service and somebody can't afford your rates, that maybe you would do the right thing in this case and reduce your rate to help somebody if that's what you do for a living. But if it's just a product or a service and you've got yourself up to a certain price point, stick to it. And that's where pride comes to bear.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, I saw a phenomenal documentary. I'd go so far to say that this is the best documentary I've ever seen. I saw it this past Sunday. It's called Hero Dreams of Sushi. Have you heard this?
No.
But it's spelled J-I-R-O. So basically, it's about this 85-year-old man who's been making sushi for 70 years.
Oh, I've seen this. I've seen about it, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and just phenomenal. And he every day goes and makes sushi in this tiny sushi restaurant. He's received the Michelin 3 stars. It's got 10 seats. It's down in a subway.
In what city?
In Tokyo.
And what was the first name? It was a J-I-R-O?
J-I-R-O, but it's pronounced Hero, Dreams of Sushi.
Huh.
And he talks about his love for his craft and how once you find what you're good at, you got to pour your whole life into it. And there was a sense of pride that he had that came out in just amazing ways. And many people regard him as the best sushi chef in the whole world.
Hmm.
And still at 85.
Wow.
He's doing this. And he says, and I love this quote, he says, I'm trying to find the top of the mountain, but nobody knows where the top is. So I'll spend the rest of my life dreaming of sushi. I mean, it was just amazing.
Well, on those words of dreaming of sushi, of which I haven't had any in a long time since I went vegan, and I miss it, I will need to wrap up our segment. And please let us know where you're currently not blogging and how my column is coming.
It's going great. It slowed down with my travels to Texas and now with Judah being sick, but it'll be up there. You're holding me accountable to it. So
Sam.com
soon will be.
Was the trip home okay? From Texas?
Yep.
Good, 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 good. And the whole visit turned out well, too?
It was wonderful. The weather wasn't too bad. It was great weather, and we had tons of fun.
Excellent. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Go take care of your baby, and I'll talk with you next week.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Stay tuned for Jennifer Weberman and Therapy Talk.